some things on my mind about where we are as the body of Christ and as the church. And I can just tell, and I know that in my circumstance and in my life, that the Satan is not happy. Amen. He is mad. And I just feel that there's been so many different things and attacks and goings on that I wanted to address that, and I'll start this week in what I'm going to talk about. Amen. And for want of a title, I just call this The Perfect Man, Part 1. And I took as my scripture text from Ephesians 4 and verse 13. It says, "Till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Amen. And I think probably I'll be getting into that a little bit more next week. But I think it was, Sunday night, we were doing some babysitting for my nieces. And I put on a little video for them, something to keep them, you know, occupied. And they wanted to see this children's movie called The Emoji Movie. So I'd never seen it before. I'd heard about it, that it had very bad ratings, that it wasn't thought of very well. But, you know, little kids, they just wanted something to see. So I put it on, and I saw this character there, this character. So I just want to know, see who knows who that character is. I hope I picked the right one. All right. Some of you who will know, and some of you won't know. Huh? Meh. In the popular jargon, that has come to be the emoji that means, you know, meh, means take it or leave it, you know. The smiley face is an obvious one, and the praying hands is an obvious one, and the laughing one is an obvious one. But this whole movie seemed to have the central character of this emoji that was called meh, that his thing was just being, you know, always just like this. And I don't know, but it seemed to sum up for me how the devil wants to put us into a certain situation where we are really just like that, where it's take it or leave it. You know, we can take it or leave it. We're just losing our joy. Losing our joy. And so we get to the place where we're just meh about church, about Bible study, about the things of God, where he has, through circumstances of life, tried to take away our joy, our zeal, our enthusiasm. You know, several of you have had accidents and job situations and health situations. And this is what the devil does. He would like us to be our principal face, that we just go about being mad, where we don't have any zeal, no joy, no energy to really serve God the way he should be. And I call that the meh church. And you know what God says about the meh church? Revelation 3:14. "And unto the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And really what brings it home is that little picture I put, making God gag. When we are in the meh, when we are not cold or hot, when we are just lukewarm, when we have no enthusiasm for the things of God or for church, we're in that position where we're wanting to make God gag. And when you think about it that way, that's serious. That's serious. And I just feel that because in the last few months, you know, we have been individually and together under all kinds of different attacks, it puts us in that place where we just be going through the motions. And tonight I want to shake us up a little bit and to tell us that that's not what God wants. He would that we would be hot or cold. And if you've lost your joy, you need to find it back. You need to find your joy back. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The devil's very clever. He knows how to just suck the joy out of us. And he does it through circumstances, through life circumstances, you know, sometimes through financial pressure. And he'll know how to get your joy taken out. And he does that by trying to take away. When you come to the root of it, it comes down to your faith. Amen. We talked last week about the Sabbath of rest, of how you can enter into God's rest when you have ceased from your own works. And most of those works are worry and fear and apprehension, because that's the opposite of rest. But of course, it's easier said than done when you're facing hardship, when you're facing tribulation, to truly just trust God and just step out. And I've told that story so many times about the man who was on the mountain that night. He fell and it was dark and he couldn't see, and he was falling down the mountain, and he's able to grab onto some kind of bush or something on the side of the mountain, and he's trying to evaluate his situation. Then he asks, is anyone up there? And the voice comes back, yes. He says, can you help me? And the voice says, yes. He says, what shall I do? Let go. Then he says, is there anyone else up there? See, our faith right now is being tested. And are we going to be like that emoji, just meh? Just, we're going through the motions because we know it's church time. We know it's Sunday morning. We know it's Tuesday night. But our true joy at being able to come and worship and being able to come and pray is not there. Because God says that makes him gag. Amen? So we have to understand and understand where we are. And if we find ourselves going through that situation where we are, because of circumstances, our faith is being tested and being sucked out, we have to do something about it, not just stay as the meh church. Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So there are things, though, that we can do when we find ourselves in that situation, when we find our faith lacking, when we find that we're just, you know, we get up in the morning and we go, oh no, we got to go to church. Amen. We don't have that joy. Amen. And that can happen to the best of us. I'm going to show you some scriptures. Now we see that Jesus foresaw this even in his disciples, in Peter. When they were in Jerusalem shortly before the crucifixion, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That is what the devil's job is, to have the winds blow you away, circumstances come into your life and so discourage you that you stop going to church, that you stop praying, that you stop really trusting God because you've prayed and it hasn't happened yet. You've been down this road, you've fasted and it hasn't happened yet. You see, this is what Satan will try and do. The disciples, I don't really believe, ever thought they would actually see Jesus being crucified. I think that they believed that at some point he would stop them doing that. And when he allowed them to actually take him, that really was a really trial for their faith. They couldn't understand it. Even though he had said this many times, that the Son of Man would be taken captive. But when it actually happens, when it actually happens to you, when your faith is being tried, when the thing you have prayed for or fasted hasn't come through yet, that's when Satan is going to try and take away your faith. And when your faith goes, then your joy goes. And he is so clever and so subtle. Sometimes it's through sickness, just debilitating pain and ache. Sometimes it's through family and children that he uses to just come and take away your joy, and you're dealing with such a dire situation. Sometimes it's finances, you know, job situations or bills that will just seem to be insurmountable. And as you fix this, something else breaks down, and this comes down, and that goes down. See, Satan desires to make you the meh church. Amen. To make you have that face where you're just going through the motions. You can take it or leave it. You don't have that zeal, that joy that you once had. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. As I said many times when I read this, I said, well, Jesus, why don't you just stop Satan? But that's not what God is going to do. He's not going to stop Satan. In this life, we shall have tribulation. Amen. We are going to be tried. We're going to go through circumstances. But how we respond to that is going to be the real test. Either we become lukewarm and we just go through the motions and we let Satan take away our joy, amen, and just take away all of our enthusiasm, and we become, you know, just like that emoji, just, meh, okay, it's Sunday, let me go to church. Okay, pastor, do something, say something, dance up there, come on, put on a show. I've said many times, if the word don't move you, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try. I'm not here to put on a show. You can buy an expensive ticket and go down to Summerfest or some other place, but if the word doesn't move you, I will not be able to do that. Amen. Amen. I'm not about hype. I'm about the Spirit of God through the word reaching your soul. And it's so easy to get discouraged and down because Satan will throw everything and the kitchen sink at you. Isn't that what he did to Job? And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came, right? This broke down, and then this broke down, and then this went bad. And you know how Satan is? He just piles on. He likes to kick you when you're down. But the thing to have to remember is that we have a way out of this situation. And we're going to look at that over the next 2 weeks. So the loss of faith is what leads to this kind of blasé, you know, coolness, lukewarmness. Let's look at this. After they had executed Jesus, after they had crucified him, after they had seen him bodily arise, even after that, we see a certain strange circumstance happens in the disciples' life. In John 21:2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter says to them, "Nah, I'm going fishing." He has seen Jesus after the crucifixion, right? He has seen Jesus after the crucifixion. He has been told what to do, go into Jerusalem and tarry there, right? And he says, "I'm going fishing." In other words, he's going back all the way to the place where Jesus first called him from. Do you see how easy it is to get discouraged, to let Satan just let you go through the motions? It seems amazing to us that he could be in that frame. And not only that, all of the other disciples around him go with him. And the sons of Zebedee and two of his other disciples. So Simon Peter said to them, "I go a fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They seem to have forgotten what their calling was. They had lost their joy. Jesus had been crucified. They had witnessed joyfully that he had been resurrected. But there was still something missing. They had not yet got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in their flesh, they just went back to being simple, discouraged, downtrodden fishermen. And they went back to what they used to do. Do you know that's what will happen when you lose your joy? You will go back to what you used to do. The thing that used to give you a little bit of pleasure, the thing that you were good at, you'll find yourself going back to that. If you were great at dancing in the club, that will be the temptation to go back and dance in the club. If you were a singer, that's what you'll want to go back to do. So Peter was, I assume, a very good fisherman. He didn't know what to do. So he decided, "Let me go fishing." And they all went with him. So we see that even after Jesus arose, it's very easy. Even after we've had miracles in our lives, even though we know the power of God and that he can deliver, that doesn't insulate us from in our flesh getting discouraged and wanting to just go back to doing what we were. Imagine after 3.5 years of walking with the Creator, of seeing great miracles, of even seeing the resurrected Christ, just a few days later, Peter has gone back to doing what Jesus called him from. Amen? Called him from. Because that's all he knew how to do. Amen. And we see, though, that there's a message in this. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I tell you, if you've got a call on your life, when you go back, it's going to be actually distasteful. It's not actually going to be as good as you thought you remembered it. It's just not going to work because you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So they fished all night and they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They did not even recognize him because they'd gotten back into the old mindset, the old way of thinking. They had gotten out for the time being in that short of the miraculous, of the joy, of the zeal. When they were first told that Jesus was resurrected, John and Peter, they ran to the tomb. They were trying to get there, outrace each other to see if this was true. But only after a few days, actually probably not more than 10 or 12 days, here they are back to what they were doing before. So a loss of faith is what leads to a don't care kind of attitude. Well, it's Sunday morning. I guess I better go to church. Amen. But with no enthusiasm, no joy, no expectation that this is the place where you can get your spirit fed. Amen. I tell you, even when I go to, when I've been to some places where, you know, the pastor wasn't really, or the guest speaker wasn't maybe saying anything great, you know, I look at what the scripture he's saying because the word itself is rich. Amen. The word itself, if he's quoting a scripture, that alone is rich. I'll eat that. Amen. Because that will give me something. So we can get to this place where Satan just sucks out all our joy. He will try and discourage us with all kinds of situations until ourselves just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. And when we get to that place, this is what God said in Isaiah 29:13. For wherever the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. It really doesn't matter if on Sunday we have this packed out. If the people who are here, whose hearts are not really tuned to God, they're just here because they're going through the motions, because someone invited. We need more than that. We need people who are on fire for God, who are determined to put him first in their life. Amen? To put him first, that whatever God wants me to do, whatever God uses me to do, wherever God wants me to go. See, we don't just want to go through the motions, but Satan will get you so depressed, so down, that all you're doing is going through the motions. But we have to break that hold. Amen? Amen. So I put that up. This is an annoyed and joyless Christian is the devil's greatest billboard. Isn't that true? People who claim the name of Jesus, as I've said so many times, we should have the joy of the Lord. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I just want to comment about that because I myself is going through some things, and I know other people are too. But one thing I've seen, the devil is so clever because when he gets you in this state, he uses some of the simplest things to get your mind under control, to try to get you to either reject a certain situation or ignore it or talk about it to somebody else. He tried to get you to do something to keep it going.
Amen.
And I noticed that, you know, I just rebuke him.
Amen.
You know, I don't take no displeasure or none of that from people or rejection talk about certain things that God done not did or whatever has happened. But the thing about it is you have to have a relationship with God yourself, because just because somebody else come tell you something, that is not necessarily true. You have to know yourself in your life, what God is doing and how he's operating in your life.
Amen. Amen. You have to know this for yourself. Bible says we have to work out our own salvation. I can't work out your salvation. You can't work out my salvation. But you know what we come here to do when we do come here is we can hear a word that's going to encourage us, that's going to tell us how we can make some progress, how we can get out of that rut. Sometimes you get into a rut. and you don't seem to be able to get out of it. And what I'm here tonight to tell you that there is a way out of those situations, amen, where we don't just go through the motions, where we can get back our joy, amen, where our faith can grow, amen. Now, one of the things that really, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Pilgrim's Progress, and I know I've said this illustration before of John Bunyan's story about a man called Christian who is on his way to Celestial City. And in this story, as I said, he's walking with a friend, and all of the names are part of the story. His friend is called Hope or Hopeful. And sometimes in this Christian journey, the way is going to get hard. Even though God is leading you, sometimes the way is going to get hard. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, sometimes by the still waters, but sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. And that happened in the Old Testament. We see as they were coming out of Egypt, it says in Numbers 21:4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. That means it was rocky, it was hard, it was dusty, it was hot. Amen. And when you're doing that for day after day, you're going to get a bit discouraged. You may see the miracles, but you're still going to, in your flesh, go, well, when is this going to end? Amen. Anyone ever said that? In the book of Revelation, the souls that had been beheaded, they said, how long, O Lord? How long do we have to wait? Because we're human in this flesh, we will go through those periods where we cry out, oh Lord, how long do we have to wait? And as the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, they came through this part that was just terrible. It wasn't comfortable. It was rocky. It was dusty. And it was hot. And it said they were much discouraged because of the way. Satan will want to discourage you, to take away your faith, to take away your joy, to tell you you will always be in the same situation. But this is when your faith is, you've got to kind of tie a knot in your rope and tell the devil he's a liar. This is when you have to take authority and get off of his train and tell him you're a liar. This is not how it is. Now, in the story in Doubting Castle, the same thing happened. Christian and his friend, the way they're going starts to get a little bit rocky and hard. And they see what looks like an easier path. And Christian says to his friend, look, it seems to be going the same way. It seems to be in the direction, but over there it's on grass. It looks a bit softer. So they cross over this fence and start to go. But little by little, that ends up being a trap. And they can't get back. And they find that the night is coming and they're trapped. And I just wanted to read a little bit of this because they end up in the territory of a giant called despair. And this is what happens to us sometimes. When we go into tribulation, the devil will want us to get to the place where we lose our faith and we start to despair and just thought, well, God isn't going to help me anymore. This is how he means it to be. That's when, as I said, you have to tell the devil he's a liar. Amen. When you get into that part where the giant is called despair and he wants to lock you up in the castle and throw away the key. And as I was reading it this evening, it just kind of made me smile. Let me read this part. It says, now I beheld in my dream, this is the story from Pilgrim's Progress, that they had not journeyed far, but the river and the way for a time parted, at which they were not a little sorry, yet they durst not go out of the way. Now the way from the river was rough, and their feet tender by reason of their travels, just like in the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, so that the souls of the pilgrims were much discouraged because of the way. And so you know what they did? They crossed over into something that looked like it was easier going. And the easier going is, well, you know what? I went to church Sunday, so I can skip Tuesday night. Because I'm so busy and there's got so many things. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about how the devil will just steal your joy of coming to church, of hearing the word. I'm not talking about outright, you know, sin, but he'll just discourage you in little ways from really getting what will actually be the thing to uplift your soul. And this is what happens in Pilgrim Progress. They just start to journey a little bit out of the way and a little bit more out of the way until they find now they're in a different territory. And it turns out that this giant called despair, he catches them. And there will be times in your Christian journey where you're going to be captured by the giant despair. If you're in this flesh, this is going to happen sometimes. I want to show you, I think, one of the greatest examples. In Matthew 11:2, we find that John the Baptist, you know where he was? In prison. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And it's quite amazing to me the question that he's asking Jesus. If you think about it, he said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Think about it. Wasn't he the same John the Baptist who, when he baptized Jesus, saw the heavens open and the voice say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Wasn't he the same John the Baptist who pointed at Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world"? But what I'm trying to tell you is we're in this flesh. And once Satan gets us in prison, he can bring doubt. He can bring fear. He can bring distress. Even John the Baptist, you know, maybe he had thought that this would never have happened to him because the Messiah had come to set up the kingdom. And so when he got allowed to be kept in prison, maybe he began to doubt. Satan started to whisper to him, "Are you sure you saw what you saw? Are you sure you heard what you heard?" Satan will come to you and say the same thing. "Hath God said that he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you? Hath he said that I will supply all your needs?" He will put you in doubting castle and he will beat you like a drum every day. Amen. The proof of this is what happened to John the Baptist. Think about who he was. Jesus said, among men born of woman, there was what? No greater than he. This tells us that in this flesh, we will go through times of fear and doubt. But it's how you handle that. Whether you're going to just stay there and let the devil beat you up. Amen. Amen. We see in 2 Timothy, Demas, a cohort of Paul, and you'll find several references to him traveling with Paul. But there came a time when it says, "Demas hath forsaken me," because you know what? Paul was going where it was dangerous. Paul was getting stoned. Paul was getting thrown into prison, and it was getting a little bit too much and discouraging for some people. "Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." Do you think Paul felt a little bit discouraged when everybody around him disappeared? Amen. He would not have been human not to have felt discouraged. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you that in this flesh, we're going to have these times when the devil will want to just blow us away, take away our joy, depress us, put us in doubting castle. In fact, Paul himself said this in 2 Corinthians 1, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength." Means he was at his last dime, so to speak, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is the great apostle Paul. Satan's job is to make you doubt the word of God. Remember what I've been teaching, that a spirit to manifest has to come as a word, and he'll come as a word and he'll whisper to you, "Listen, God has forgotten you. It's not going to happen. You might as well give up. He doesn't help everybody, and he's not helping you this time." This time. That's what he'll tell you. Satan is so clever, as you said. He will tell you it ain't going to work. He's not going to heal you. He's not going to deliver you. But this is when you need to grab up your faith. See, Paul himself said that we were pressed out of measure above strength. That means this was beyond his endurance. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. He was quite willing at that point, "Lord, just take me." We see the same thing of Elijah after he had been threatened by Jezebel. He just went under the juniper tree and said, "Lord, you know, I've done all I can do. This is not working. Amen. You know, I've fought a good fight, and just take me now." God said, "No, you're not done yet. There are still 7,000 that have not bowed the knee." Amen. You're not alone. When we think we're alone, that's the devil's lie. When he's telling you that you should give up, that's him trying to blow you away. But thank God, Jesus said, "I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. We don't want to be the Laodicean church where we are lukewarm, where the devil has got us to the point where all we can do is go through the motions. But we want to be the victorious church. We want to be the Philadelphian church where he said, because you have a little strength, I'm going to keep you from the tribulation that is going to come. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I'm learning in this walk that no matter what situation come up on you, please do not stay away from the church.
Amen.
The best thing to do is press your way to come up in this church, even if you have to crawl up in here. No matter what you got to do to get up in here, you have to hear a word, because the devil ain't concerned about nothing about you but the word. And if you ain't got the word, he got you already. But I've learned, because he has been on me, and he's had me to the point where I had to cry out. And even after I cried out, God spoke to me and said, you got the word, you better use that. So I learned to just speak back to the devil. When he speaks to me, I speak back to him. I let him know where he's going.
Amen. 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 You see, his job is to do the same thing he did in Genesis, to deceive. If we understood, and if we could have our eyes open spiritually, just like the servant of Elisha, where he said, open his eyes, we would see that contrary to what the devil's been telling us, our victory is just around the corner. Our blessing is just around the corner. If the Bible says it's he that endureth to the end. Amen. You know, when we get to the point where we say, whether I die, I win, or if I live, I win, that's when we win. Because when we have that confidence in him, hallelujah, then the devil has to go away. That's when the devil has to go away. When we truly learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You know, I've learned that. But even so, even though I've learned that, I know the next giant that comes along, he's going to try and say, yes, well, that was yesterday. Yes, he did help you out a few times there, but this is different. Now he's not going to help you. That's the lie from the pit of hell. That's what Satan wants to do, to destroy your faith, to take away your joy. Amen. So that you will not be able to draw. The Bible says, with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Amen. In a modern translation, just to make you really understand, it says, we were crushed and overwhelmed. This is Paul speaking. Beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. This is Paul. That's what he was really saying. He said, we despaired of life itself. But you just have to understand that underneath are the everlasting arms. See, you cannot go before your time. If you have a mission, you cannot go. Paul still had a mission. Amen? Paul still had a mission. It's just like whatever the devil says, you have to understand that he's a liar. He's a murderer. Amen. He wants to kill and destroy your faith. He said, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped. But I don't want to get to this next part, because this is the key to getting out of this. Let me go on here. I want to, as I said, read it in a modern translation. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know that the hard times we suffered in Asia Minor, we were having a lot of trouble. See, when you're going through hard times, the devil will say, well, did God really want you in this place, in this situation? Or else, why would you be going like this? Isn't that what Job's friends came to him and said? Hey, if you were so righteous and good, you wouldn't be suffering like this. See, that's what the devil will tell you. But you know, the Bible says that in this life, we are going to experience tribulation. Jesus did. But he said, be of what? Good. I have overcome. And you can too. So we see that Paul, put in modern text, said we were having a lot of trouble. It was far more than we could stand. You ever been to that place where you just feel like giving up? Amen. Where you just want to say, you know, walk away from it. Amen. Amen. I've never had a baby personally. Amen. But I understand it's quite painful sometimes. Sometimes. And not to pick on my wife exactly, but I'll pick on her, you know. There's been times when she was in labor, she just wanted to get up and walk away as if that would that would make it go away, you know. But you're going to have to go through and have the baby. Amen? Can't walk away from that. It's just going to follow you when you get off of the bed. Amen. See, Peter thought that if he could just go back to fishing, everything would be okay. And he didn't realize or didn't remember this was where Jesus first met him. Guess what happens? In fact, Jesus had to repeat the miracle of when he first met him. The first time we see the miracle, this happened 3.5 years before. Peter was fishing all night, caught nothing. And Jesus said, throw the net on the other side. And they took up such a draft of fish it couldn't. Do you know that miracle was repeated in John after the crucifixion, after the resurrection? Jesus had to go back to where he found Peter and repeat the miracle to get him out of that situation and to get his zeal back, to get his joy back. Finally, he said to him, Peter, listen, this is not what I called you for. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the key to start getting at how much do we love God? Do we believe him? Because if you love him, you will trust him. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter how disastrous and hopeless it is, amen, there is no such thing as hopelessness in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as no hope in Christ. In fact, Paul says, if in this life alone we had hope, we would be of men most miserable. Truly, if that was all we had was what we can do with our hands and our feet and our brain, then we would be in trouble. But just to let you understand that we in this flesh will be tested, as Paul was here. He said it was beyond even his ability. You see, God will not leave it to you to get through. When you truly trust him, he will show up. Amen. He showed up for the 3 Hebrew boys, didn't he? Didn't I throw 3 people in here? How come I see 4 of them? And one of them looks like the Son of God. Amen. I have come too far. You have come too far to let the devil make you a meh. To make the devil take away your joy. To let the devil depress you. We need to get back our zeal and our fire for God and our love of God. We need to tell the devil, listen, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. He can provide in a desert. He has before and he will. Amen. Let's go on. In fact, in verse 9 it says, in fact, our hearts we felt as if we were under the sentence of death. Amen. That's what he said. Now let me go on. I'm going to come back to that scripture. But how do you get out of Doubting Castle? Well, the story in Paul, in John Bunyan's story is, every day the giant would come and beat him up, beat Christian up and his friend Hope, and tell them that they really should kill themselves. That's what he'd tell them every day. Why don't you just kill yourselves? Because I'm going to kill you. And this went on in the story for a while. But finally, Christian and Hope started to pray. And then they realized that all the time they could have gotten out the castle. All the time they had the key to escape the castle, and the key was promise. Because God has given you exceeding great and precious promises. Whenever Satan wants to get you in despair and tell you there's no way out and it's finished and you can't see how this is going to turn out, remember the promises. Remember the promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you read the story, a Christian realizes that the key he has can actually open every lock in the castle. And he starts to open all the locks of Doubting Castle, and finally they get out and escape because of the promises that God has given us. So the key to get out of your despair is to start thinking about the promises. God, you have promised that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You have promised that I am your beloved. You have promised that I am the righteousness of God. We can be the righteousness of Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter what the devil says, because he is a liar. He wants to make you doubt God's word, to doubt the direction that you're in, the place you're in. But surely, goodness and mercy. David in the psalm says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. When we start to trust God as David did, that's why he was so successful. He went against all the time tremendous odds where he should have lost. There'd be no way he should have won. But you know what? He was believing that he had big brother behind him. He had his heavenly father always supporting him. Amen. Let's keep on going. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it begins to explain something. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee to know. See, Jesus was quoting from this scripture that he might make, you know, one of the reasons we go through suffering is that we learn what God can do. Yeah. Amen. There's five reasons I'm going to teach. I won't finish them tonight. But number one, one of the reasons we go through suffering is that we learn to rely on God. Paul said he was pressed out of measure. That means he despaired unto death. That means the only way he survived, even the great Paul, was that somehow God helped him. You know, there's a saying that God will never give you more than you can bear. And that's true if he's with you. Because he can bear it all. He doesn't just give you more than you can bear because you can't bear some of it. You can't. You can. He will only give you more than you can bear if he's carrying it. Didn't he say, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Problems is we believe the devil's lies. We believe what he has told us, and we get caught in that doubting castle. And then we become just like that emoji. Meh, maybe this is what God's plan for my life is. Gonna eat lemons all the life, all my days, and nothing ever good is gonna happen. Amen. I really was like that a lot. You can ask my wife. Sister Johnny.
I'm sorry to keep coming up here, but I ain't giving devil no glory. But amen. I'm going through some things. I have to let the church know because the Bible says it's the prayer of the righteous that availeth much. So pray my strength in the Lord. But I was just thinking like how so clever the devil does things to where he gets you to a point where even if you haven't done anything, he'll take you backwards
yes.
to something that you done done. And yes. then he'll bring that in your conscience. And yes. then he'll use that against you because yes. God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God haven't moved. It's just that your mind, that what the devil has put in there has caused you to
Amen.
Think that God has left you or Amen. Moved away from you, which really all you have to do is just repent from whatever it is and ask God to receive you. And
Amen.
He will.
Amen. You know, in my life, the way God seems to have worked, he's always had me on the edge. So I could not ever depend totally on myself. He's never let me get comfortable where I can just, I got this, it's okay. I've always had to be on the edge where at some point I've got to say, Lord, if you don't help me, this isn't going to end well. But you know what? As I've said, he has never failed me, never failed me, never failed me. And I'm not going to listen to the devil now because he's a liar. And he only comes to steal, destroy, and to kill. I want our church to get out of being meh. I want us to run to the doors of this church whenever it's open. I want you to just find your joy, get your key, get your promise, and let the devil become just nothing but an empty voice talking trash, because that's all he is. Sister Audrey.
So I realize that I have been in meh attitude, and I didn't even realize it until this Bible study and listening to you talk. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm one of the happiest people. You know, I love to be happy. I love to laugh. And I haven't even been doing any of that. I haven't even wanted to witness. I haven't wanted to greet the visitors. I've just been so like, okay, whatever. Okay, we got to sing. We got to do this. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I have been in the mad church. And not that this is the mad, but I have been in the mad attitude. And this is so enlightening. This is so refreshing. I just have to confess that. I didn't even realize it.
Well, you know, I'm sure you were in good company because we can all get there. We can all get where the devil wants to take away our joy because he has put us under pressure. You know, again, you see what Paul said. He was pressed out of measure. You know, like this happened to me today. Actually, it happened to me yesterday. if you want my confession, I came here yesterday, and I was, you know, there was a whole bunch of junk in the alleyway, and the city had sent us a notice to clear it up, and we did it once, and of course there was more junk put back there. You guys were cleaning out all of the old clothes, and it was all in the alleyway. So I came over here Monday, and I loaded up the van with Cortez's help, but I couldn't get here quite in time because they had another appointment I had to be at and race to get here. We loaded up. We got to the Lincoln Road dump 1 minute to three, and they already had everything lined up. And so now I thought, oh, God, what are we going to do? Because it's all in the van now. Well, we have no choice. It's going to have to sit in the van overnight, and we'll come back tomorrow and get to the dump in time. So I told Cortez we'll get there 2:30, and we'll... But then I had another appointment today, and I thought it was going to be, you know, finished. It's just like when it should finish, they came and said, well, there's something more you need to do, and just this one more thing. I said, are you finished? I was looking at the clock, and it was so frustrating. I could tell the devil was just taking out my joy, just wanted to get me all upset that I, you know, and I knew immediately. They finished when it was 3 o'clock, when I was supposed to be at the dump. And so when that happened, I said, okay, devil, I see what you're doing here. You're just wanting to get me upset, take away my joy. I refuse to do that. I'm going to make sure that we are not the main church. As I said, we need to be the Philadelphian church. Because you have had a little strength, I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation. Amen. I'm not going to be down. I am not going to let the devil take away my joy and get me all bent out of shape. It's very easy for all of us to get that way. Because he will put you pressure every day. He'll bring disappointments. He'll bring things that should go and then they just don't go. You know, I had planned to get the van completely empty today and it just didn't work for various things came up. As pastor, things come up that I don't plan for. But you know what? With all that, I want to be like Job. You know what he said? He kept his integrity. He got to the point where he said, though he slay me. Yet, well, I think the devil must have really been upset when Job said that. What am I going to do with this man? I've killed his family. I've taken away his riches. I've made him sick. What am I going to do with this man? Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. Even if you slay me, yet will I serve him. What a testimony. When God sees that kind of faith, mountains are going to move. Seas are going to part. The dead are going to be raised. When you stand upon the word of God, he will not deny himself. Amen. And I have seen God do tremendous financial miracles for me, and he's not done yet. Amen. I've seen him do financial miracles for this church. Amen. And he's not done yet. As long as we get out of being the Laodicean church, when we totally trust God, when we put our foot down and tell the devil, you are a liar. Amen. I stand upon the promises. I'm going to take some promises. I'm going to unlock every key out of Doubting Castle. You are not holding me back in here. I am going to rejoice whether I feel like or not. I'm going to take off the garment of heaviness. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. And I am going to be in church whenever I can. I'm going to be lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. We won't finish it this week because I do want to finish at 8 o'clock, but we'll be going next week. I said 5 reasons for trials. Well, one of them, I said the first one was reliance. God wants us to rely on him. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Despite what the devil wants to do, even when you've seen a promise and it hasn't happened yet, even when you've prayed in faith and it hasn't happened yet, do not give up. Because this is just a trial. This is just a test. Amen. You will see your salvation. I do want to go back to this scripture that Paul said, because Paul explains something here of the reason why he was going through such trials. It says, it was far more than we could stand. We even thought we were going to die. In fact, in our hearts, we felt as if we were under the sentence of death. Now he explains, and I skip this, he explains why all of this happened. But that happened so that we would not depend on ourselves. All he went through, Paul says, happened so that he had no choice but to depend on God. He couldn't fix it. There was no way out. Lord, you're going to have to do this. And God has put me in those circumstances many times where there was no left or right. There was no way out. Lord, you're going to have to do this. When you get in that circumstance, that's when you have to look to God. Look up. Paul says, in fact, our hearts felt as if we were under the sentence of death. But he explains the reason was, but that happened so that we would not depend on ourselves. There was no way of him fixing it. There was no way of his skills, his intellect, talking his way out of it. There was no way of him using his heritage to get out of it. It said, but that happened so that we would not depend on ourselves, but on God. He goes on to say, look, even if we had died, he raises the dead to life. God has saved us from deadly dangers, and he will continue to do it. See, you could have been in that car, couldn't you? Amen. You could have been hit full on, and you could be dead. He has brought us out of darkness into light. Amen. And he will continue to do it. We have put our hope in him. He will continue to save us. Paul is explaining that even though he was in pressed out of measure, he understood that this was so that there was nothing he could do. There was no saint could send him help. There was no other person who could open some door. He had to rely completely on God. God wants us to trust him and to rely on him completely. Amen. Now that's easier said than done. Because when we see the gulf that's there or the situation, and to just step out in faith, that takes something. But once we have done it, and when we see what God will do, when there is no other way, amen. If you could stand with me, we will continue this next week. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, it's till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Now, some of the things we're going through is because we have made some choices. We've made some choices. I've made some bad choices. I haven't made good choices all the time. Amen. Amen. But we want to measure up. If we can start making some good choices, to measure up to the perfect man. That's what God has called us to. The perfect man, and he is the perfect man. And if we will continue in faith and not let the devil lie to us, take away our joy, steal our zeal, God has got some miracles to tell you, for you to see. Amen. I'm looking for some miracles. I know this, if I do the right thing, there's nothing Satan can do, not a single thing. Not a single thing. Not anything to do with me, but it's God's plan. Because his plan can never fail. When God says, let there be, the only answer is, and it was so. When God says, when God does something, and he has done some things for me, sometimes all I can do is shake my head and smile, because it's so miraculous. Amen. I'm looking for God to do. Sister Johnny, last time, we're closing here.
I'm sorry, Pastor, it's just on my heart for the church. When in the Bible, when they was at the Tower of Babel, the Bible say that they was on one accord and it wasn't nothing that they couldn't do.
Amen.
So for the church tonight, if we could just get on one accord, if we could just put our own faults and failures to the side, and just because I've learned that you never know what people is going through. You never Amen. Know what kind of day they done had and what they've been going through. So if we could just love on our brothers and sisters and encourage them and just try to encourage somebody tonight
Amen.
In the kingdom of God and anything that you can do to help them. If you got it to help them, just help them.
Amen. 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 That's why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because that's where we will get to encourage one another, pray for one another. Amen. And as she says tonight, when we close in prayer, let's pray that we be on one accord, of one mind, of one heart. Hallelujah. Because there is nothing God can't do when the church is unified, when the body is unified. Amen. But if the body is going all different directions, that's uncoordinated. But when we have determined to fulfill His will, to be His disciples, to walk according to His way, there's nothing that can stop that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your word. We thank You. Hallelujah. Let it find good soil.